And good Friday morning. Away we go. Getaway Friday, September 17th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. You are tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, heard live every Friday morning at 11:15 a.m., repeated on Sunday morning at 8:15 a.m., and Wednesday afternoon at 3:15 p.m. Also on this station, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service airs every Sunday from at 12:15 p.m., and you can hear all of those sermons as well as all the episodes of this show on the website, wwgh1071.com. Go to Program Archives, and I believe they are the first two shows under there. And now we welcome the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Yeah, you know, those archive shows, it's kind of funny, Scott. I like going back to them because I like to see if I contradict myself anywhere.
Yeah, it's good to listen to the archives.
Hey, if you want to catch me in mistakes, go to the archives. Good to be here today. I am Steve Whitaker. I'm the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street, and we have a lot of services going on. We have, our Sunday morning services. We have a Bible Sunday school Bible teaching hour at 9:30, and then at 10:30 we have our worship service. We have an evening Bible study, midweek stuff. We're getting ready to kick off Team Kid, which is great, which is the first and third Tuesday of each month, and that's at the church. And we have a time set up from 6:30 to 8 o'clock when you can bring your children and leave them. We're from preschool through sixth grade. And, of course, I'll be doing Pizza with Pastor during that time also. And another neat event is on October 3rd at Prospect Park. We have our annual day in the park. We couldn't have it last year due to the restrictions, but we are this year. And we're going to have music and games and chili and hot dogs, and we're going to be making fresh apple cider and apple cider press. And they're going to be making apple butter in a big copper kettle, and I even hear we may be having elephant ears. So someone wants to do some elephant ears, so I think that's what they're called. Anyway, one of those big things that I shouldn't be eating. But they're going to be a lot of neat stuff, games, and we have a hayride every year. All that's free at Prospect Park. It'll be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the 3rd of October, so please come out and enjoy that time. Got a lot of other things going on. One thing I do want to mention that I put an announcement out yesterday, and I want to put it out again, that on the 26th at 6 o'clock in the evening at the church at Community Christian Fellowship, we are going to have an open community prayer meeting for our country and our government and our leaders, and we're just going to lift them up to the Lord in prayer. And I think that'll be a great community event for people to come out and exercise their prayer together corporately. And we're going to do that. So please come out and enjoy us. It's going to probably run about an hour, but it's going to be a kind of a thing where people can come and go if they wish to. And so please come. That is going to be at 6 o'clock on the 26th at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. So we look forward to seeing you there then. So I think I've talked about most things now. There's always more going on as people think about it. We're still doing our coffee on Wednesday mornings early, which is really bringing out a good crowd of people to get coffee. And on their way to work, it's from 6:30 to 9:30. And just a good time. Still have ladies. There could be men, but I think it's just ladies. Still making pastries for that. And it's just kind of nice to see people come and visit that early in the morning. I know Frank's with us today, Frank Robinson. Frank's usually there to help in the mornings, and I usually get there late. Kind of hard to get me there that early, only because I know I don't have to be there, you know what I mean? But, hey, great to be on the show today. A lot of neat things going on. We've got a lot of, tonight at some of the schools I know at Elgin is senior night, and kids celebrating their senior year. It's good they can do that together. I know that one school already has canceled their football game due to COVID, and I think that you're probably going to see a little more of that out there because there's going to be more of a rate of people having that and that going on, and the schools are kind of in limbo about what they'll do here and do with this and that. And that's something I would encourage you to pray about. You know, we talk about these things. It's so easy to talk about things, but we really need to lift them to the Lord also. You know, God tells us that he listens to us, and whatever we ask, in his name and in his will that he'll do. And I think that we need to certainly be lifting those things up in prayer. I want to read something this morning, and this is out of, a lot of you are probably familiar with, the Daily Bread Publications, which is a monthly devotional. Well, actually, it covers 3 months. This one's October, November, December, so I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit. I'm reading out of it. But in Deuteronomy 15:11, it says, "I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land." And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, about being poor and needy. And I want to read this little devotion to give you an idea of where this devotion went anyway. Elvis Summers answered the door to find Smokey, a frail woman who stopped by regularly to ask for empty cans to return for cash. The money was her primary source of income. Elvis got an idea. "Could you show me where you sleep?" he asked. Smokey led him to a narrow patch of dirt about 2 feet wide next to a house. Moved by compassion, Summers built her a tiny house, a simple shelter that provided space for her to sleep in safety. Summers ran with the idea. He started a GoFundMe page and teamed with local churches to provide land to build more shelters for others who are homeless. Throughout the Bible, God's people are reminded to care for those in need. When God spoke through Moses to prepare the Israelites to enter the Promised Land, he encouraged them to be open-hearted and freely lend to the poor whatever they need. The passage also noted there will always be poor people in the land. We don't have to go far to see this is true. As God compassionately called the Israelites to be open-handed toward fellow Israelites, we too can find ways to help those in need. If everyone needs food, shelter, and water, even if we don't have much, may God guide us to do what we can to help others, whether it's sharing a sandwich, a warm winter coat, or small things like a big difference. This is something that's very dear to my heart and has been for a long time. To see people in need and truly in need is something that we can all do something about. Last night, we had our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting at the church, and one of the fellows came walking in with a big box, and it was completely full of hat and glove sets and mittens and all these kind of things, mostly for children. And he was at a yard sale, and this lady, evidently she did, you know, people that do those pallet sales,
mm-hmm.
and she gave him the whole box for $20, and he was just gladly bring it into the church because he knew that we'd know what to do with it, and of course we do. And then we had another discussion last night, and we were talking about giving, and you know, the people, obviously they give to their church, they tithe to their church, they give to special needs in the church, but then we also had a discussion that goes beyond that excuse me, to things people give to. And you know, people were talking about the child food programs that are nationwide, worldwide, some of the compassion relief things going on in the world. And there's so many people that I know personally that don't just give to the church and the needs of the church, that they passionately give to things to help people they'll probably never, ever, ever meet or see. And it's so important that we do that. I've talked about this before, that I don't think that people realize, especially those, you know, the church has been under a lot of attack lately from a lot of different directions and comments made from politicians that are negative towards the church. And one thing that I think that they're forgetting, or they don't know, or sometimes there's just a level of ignorance about it, is the amount of outreach that the church does worldwide. And the church itself gives far more aid to people for food aid, health aid, medical aid, than any government does, even our own government. And I know that I know so many different groups that have been that go to Haiti, and they go to different places to help rebuild, maybe help teach a language, to work with children in orphanages, that do all these things. And even in our own country, the amount of faith-based addiction recovery programs far outnumbers anything else. Most of them are. I think of several here in Marion that just off the top of my head that are out there. Celebrate Recovery is a huge one, and you see it all over the place. But, you know, addiction recovery, and, you know, we look at the Hope Center here in Marion that is helping so many young mothers that are going to be mothers for the first time or maybe the second or third time that need that help, and they need that counseling, and they need those classes, and they need a hand up and encouraged. And, you know, I see these things, and it just, to me, I wish people understood to the extent that people truly, truly do love them and care for them. Just because sometimes the church doesn't agree with something society says doesn't mean that they don't love. It means they do love, they just don't agree with something. And they show it in so many different ways. And I encourage people to be compassionate to those that have less than you. And sometimes, if you don't have money to do something, there's so many other ways to do it. Frank, what is a way?
Well, just...
come a little closer to
the
mic. If
nothing else... just stopping by somebody's house who's a widow or widower, doesn't have any family to come by, and just make that initial contact. Just being able to spend time with somebody. Seems like there's a time is so precious that it's actually a monetary value to spread around to somebody else. Just spend time. Take time out to talk to someone.
Do you mind telling us a little bit about what you do at Primrose?
Basically,
is that okay? I hate to blindside someone.
Yeah,
I
you
think
do it
I
all
do.
The time.
Well, that I don't hate to do it.
No, you don't. But Primrose, it's an excellent group of people. Primrose, both the staff and also the residents, and these are people who are, in some cases, are not able to get out to attend the regular church services. So I go in twice a month. The first time I'm in, we have a regular service. Second time, we observe fellowship and communion. And hopefully, a week from Thursday, we'll be starting a Bible study also in the evenings. And it's a time of just fellowship. And it's actually non-denominational, it's community.
And you know, Frank, one thing, too, that I think we can't be amiss in not mentioning is that... it allows them to feel that they're even more part of some form of community, because when you go into housing like that, into nursing homes and whatnot, they try very hard to have activities and things. But many times people completely lose their sense of community when they're no longer able to go to their church, see the people that they know, and they really look. I know they really look forward to the service. I've been there with Frank, and I've done the services before in the past. That's why I'm so glad Frank came along and picked up that ball and you know, decided to carry it. But doing a wonderful job, and the people look forward to that. And that's just one of those things that, you know, a lot of the times the way that we help people and is not necessarily in a monetary way. It can lead to that, and we're more than happy to do that. I got a call yesterday from someone that... a young man that was literally wailing, gut-wrenching wailing on the phone with an issue, in a family issue. And I say a young man, I guess to me anyone under 35 is a young man today. But you stop what you're doing and you take that time, and it's something that is very hard on you sometimes to hear that and to deal with that, but you do, and you let that person know that they have an ear, that they're not just alone in their thinking, alone in their situation, alone in what's going on around them. And then, of course, you know, beyond that, you know, I know with myself, when I get off the phone with a person like that, I'm immediately going into a mode of what can I do to help with this situation, and where can we direct that person, or how can I continue to encourage, or in what way can I continue help beyond that. And I think there's so much of that that goes on. We recently have a couple in the church that we've we've been providing meals for and doing a lot of different things for, because they just can't understand that they probably need to be going to a place to have them taken care of because they can't do it themselves any longer. But until that time happens, there's those that will reach out and help and do those things. And that's important. When I go to the hospital to see people, I go for encouragement. I tried to call a fellow yesterday that I've, he's in the hospital and had a very serious accident a week ago. And he doesn't come to the church, but he's a friend of the church. And the only one that can get in to see him is his wife, so I can't get in. And I tried to call him, and I couldn't, but I hear he may be coming home, but he really had a hard accident. But you do that because you want to encourage them. You do that because the Lord lays it on your heart to do it. And so many people within the church do that those things. I'm really encouraged when someone comes up to me at the church and says, "Hey, Pastor, so-and-so, I was at their house and did this and did that." And we have one fellow in the church that every time he goes to Costco, I guess Costco has these really plump roasted chickens. You can buy those already cooked chickens in Kroger or anywhere, but I guess he tells me that Costco's are just really big plump chickens. Well, he always buys a couple extra, and then he takes them to a couple shut-ins on the way home. And that's not something that someone's telling me he has to do. He just does it out of the goodness of his heart. And I know that just about everyone that I know within the church in some form has something like that that they do. We have a lady in the church that's 80 years old. She's 80 plus now. And she has taken her neighbors to the grocery store when they've gotten to the point that they couldn't do it themselves. She's done it for years. She's made sure their house is clean. She's made sure they had something. The lady's in her 80s and taking care of her neighbors around her. Unfortunately, one of them just got so bad that she had to move in with her daughter in Indiana, and they sold the house. But she took her to she did all of her grocery shopping. She did everything with her, and what a blessing that is. This lady isn't someone that you notice I don't mention their names. I don't think they would ever want me to, because this is something they do out of the kindness of their heart. And I think that we see that in churches everywhere. You know, people say, "Well, what is the church doing?" Well, because the church is not out there with a huge banner saying, "Look what we do." Everyone is so used to people taking credit for what they do. We certainly see in our politicians, they're real quick to tell you all the good deeds that they do in many cases, because they want elected. They want you to feel good about them. And, you know, so we mention things that we do because we want people to be part of them. We want to encourage people to do some things. We mentioned them. I've talked about the backpack program on here before that we do at the schools on the weekend that my wife's in heads up at our church. And there's other churches and there's other schools where it's going on too around Marion County. And there's other programs. There's the pantry across the street from us at St. Paul's that is every month. We have an emergency fund things set up for people in emergencies and just different things we do. But the truth is that 99% of what the church does, and when I say the church, I'm talking about our church, I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ that truly have a love in their heart because God has put it there. And they are constantly doing good things on a regular basis that nobody knows about. And, you know, I remember having a show one time with Terry, and we were talking about this very subject. Terry said, "Well, why don't we hear about this? Why didn't everybody know what all this stuff is going on? Because it would maybe paint a different picture about the church." The point is, when you're truly giving and helping in that way, it's not about people knowing you're doing it or finding out you're doing it. It's about the act that you do, mm-hmm. and the fact that you're doing it. You know, unfortunately, and this is kind of sad too. Sometimes when you're doing what I call a pure ministry, now, I'll give you my own definition of what I call a pure ministry. A pure ministry is helping someone in a way that's truly needed, with the ultimate goal of showing them love and showing them Jesus Christ, who loves them more than anyone. But when you're doing that, and that should be, I believe, our ultimate goal in ministry, if there's not some form of showing people, you know, Jesus said, you know, told the woman at the well, he said, drink from this water and you'll never thirst again. And he was talking about himself. Mm-hmm. And we want people to know and love Jesus Christ and understand that he ultimately, they'll never thirst and hunger again. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. And we want them to know that, because when the spiritual part of your life is right, it makes the physical part of your life so much easier and so much even more tolerable in difficult times. But what I was getting at a minute ago, when you're doing a ministry from a pure heart in a pure way, and you talk about it all the time, sometimes people and places that want a grandstand will try to move in on that, because they get, I mean, it really happens. I'm telling you, I've been in ministry a long time, and it's like, whoa, folks, you don't understand why we do this. We're not doing this to be popular. We're not doing this for people to say, oh, look what that wonderful group does. We're doing it because we want to do it. So please, you know, if you truly want to help, great. But if you're just doing it to add to what you do to make you look good, don't do it. Because we've kind of got a good thing going here from a proper way. And, you know, it's something that God is blessing, so let us continue to bless that. And that is one of the reasons that we don't sometimes partner with certain secular groups to do things, because our motives aren't the same. And any time that motives start going towards a self-motive or a motive other than a pure motive, it has a tendency to become a corrupt thing, if that makes any sense.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because it was a book that was put out in the 70s, and I wish I could remember the name of the book or who even wrote it, but there was a chapter in there that I found to be fascinating, and the book wasn't even directed at this particular subject, but it basically said, why do we have festivals? Why do we have park events? Why do we have fairs? Why do we have any of these things? It's not the most efficient way to raise money. You do it, people come. You don't charge attendance a lot of or money to get in. That if those companies that put those names on the stage just gave the money, you wouldn't have to have all these volunteers come down and run the thing. You wouldn't have to go around telling people when you're going to have it. You wouldn't have to do any of this. That if people really were just good-spirited and efficient, and it was nothing about the event itself, then people would just give the money, and you wouldn't have to do any of that. And there wouldn't be any recognition needed. There wouldn't be flyers that are stuck in people's doors. There'd be nothing. And you would still get the money.
Interesting. People like events, though. Oh, they love events.
And that's it.
They love events.
Because there's a little, you know, you get on the board of these events, and
the general public like events.
Well, they do, but I think the people who like, you know, they volunteer and they get their T-shirt, and then they go out in the brochure.
Hey, anybody that understands advertising at all and understands how marketing and how well that works, there's a good reason for all that. There's a reason why in our baseball fields, that all through the outfield fence, there's all these companies on the wall.
The
and it's good. I'm not knocking them for doing that.
But is the question, would that company just not care about the baseball or the little league if their name wasn't on the fence?
There's probably a percentage of those that would, but there's a percentage of those that would give anyway. I'll tell you what, it's amazing to me, and I don't want to breach confidence of people that do it, but some of the companies that I know of that give, and you don't know it, and they give largely to all kinds of good, solid things, and nobody knows they did it.
And I think that was the purpose of this chapter, is those are the people who are really, if you want to get down to the altruisticness of it, those are the people who really do it just to do it.
Now, let's be fair about this, too. I know some people in business that you'll see them on billboards, you'll see their name on events, and you'll see all these kind of things because they understand marketing and it's important for their business. But some of those people, those that I'm talking about, that are the same people that will also, behind the scenes, give to things that nobody knows about, and they do it out of the goodness of their heart. So understand, just because somebody does things for advertising doesn't mean they don't have that giving heart too, and they do both.
Well, I'll tell you, the problem is, if you wanted to advertise your business, you could pay for a newspaper ad, you could pay for an internet billboard. I mean, these are people who are in the business of advertising. You could go to radio stations, you could go to television stations, but if you give money to people in the community's kids, or you're not just advertising. You are trying to pull on that heartstring thing.
Have you supported this?
Yeah, I supported that.
I mean, my granddaughter, Julia, is in COSBA, Central Spina Bifida Association, that she's involved in that because of her spina bifida, and they have an annual event, an annual race, you know, and they fund a lot of great things. And in that race that they have every year, it's a 5K over in Genoa Township. And, you know, the shirts, you know, you'll see sponsors and you'll see all those, but, you know, and they sponsor it because, you know, they want to sponsor it. But I'm sure it gives them a amount of business too, some of them. A lot of people sponsor things that you never see. I find it interesting when I go to the hospitals and I'll be walking down the long hallways in Columbus, and you'll have an entire wall of philanthropists and their names on the walls.
Well, and I think that's the problem that's been created. I really, they can do it. I mean, it's fine. I have no judgment of what they're doing.
Right.
But, I mean, clearly, if you say, hang my sign, if you say, do this, do that, and it's in exchange for that money, I mean, that's what it was about. Now, how much were you really into the cause? It's great the money goes to the cause, but really how much was about the cause? I'll tell you, the big thing lately is the dunk tanks. Now, that to me, where somebody who they perceive will draw in a lot of money, and they ask them to go sit in the dunk tank, and then people pay money to throw balls at them and dump them in the water. This is becoming a very popular thing. And I think, now, wait a second. Now, is this, and you know, the people who are showing up 9 times out of 10 are people who go to that pastor's church, or the people who work in the office of that attorney, or that's who's showing up at these things to dunk the person. Nobody else really knows who they are. Now, that to me is the absolute center of promotion. And would they do that? Would they have given the money if they didn't get to throw a ball and dunk the person? Was that really what you gave the money
Probably.
For? I hope they would.
So now
let's just
Scott,
get rid
now
of the
Scott,
dunk tank
Scott,
and save the water.
Now, Scott, we've done it. We've gone all the way from pure charity all the way to dunk tanks.
Well, I think that's
like
the problem
Scott
with charity.
Volunteering for the next
dunk tank. Yeah, I'll be right down there.
You know,
I
had a guy one time. This has been years ago. I did a funeral one time, and this guy called me up, and he said, hey, he said, there's going to be some money left over from Mom's estate, and we'd like to donate to the church. But if we're going to do this, we want maybe an annual day in honor of her, and we want a message surrounding her and these kind of things. And I told him, I said, I'm sorry, you know, we don't want your money. I mean, that's just a no. It's not about that. Now, I'll say this. If I have nothing wrong with if somebody did something, was a really solid soul that did some wonderful things and encouraged people, and if you want to put a garden in the church or put up a flagpole or put up something and say, you know, in honor of so-and-so, I think that's wonderful. If it's a group that, if the group, the church itself wants to honor someone, I have no problem with honoring a person. But when people start buying spaces, like for instance, to give you an example, a lot of times you go into the old churches. Ours was one of them and had them on all the windows. When you go in, you know, the stained glass windows had someone's name and a plate on them because they gave to that window 200 years ago. And, you know, see, that's not my cup of tea.
But you know, though, I'm more okay with the dead person thing. If the person's already dead, and somebody says, well, I want something in their name, I think they're doing that for their grief. Now, I would not go out advertising that I want to take advantage of somebody's grief. But if they really want to give to a church or a school or whatever, because...
like in an endowment or something.
Yeah, yeah. And that person's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to get anything out of that. They're gone. And it helps that grief along. I'm more okay with that than... because the Haiti trip things are interesting to me. And I'm glad the work's getting done. That's great. But you can't help but know somebody's going. They will tell you they're going. A lot of times they take leave of absence from their job.
I think that they need to raise money to go, for one, usually. And
right.
They're young people. And I think that so many of them go out of a pure heart. You know, something that most people, if you've gone, honestly gone on a true mission trip where there's truly, really a need, there's something that happens to people when they go on those. And they recognize and realize maybe for the first time that there are people that live totally different than them and don't have a clue what it would be like to have what they have. And I think that it is an eye-opening, heartwarming, and can be a very life-changing event for people. And I think that it's wonderful. They're not going, I know very few people that have ever gone to a foreign trip like that to come back and say, guess what? You know, I went and built houses for people that lost them in a hurricane. You know, when we went down to, and I've talked about it before, when we went down and helped out after Katrina and all the devastation and damage there. I like telling people about it because I had so many stories to tell them and things. A lot of people didn't get to see what really went on down there.
Well,
and I like telling them for that reason. But as far as being a grandiose thing to say, hey, look at the great thing that I did, it was never that way. And I think that there's very few people that go to things like that for that reason. Because I'll tell you, one reason is this, Scott. Most of those trips are very uncomfortable. You've got to have to desire to do what's right to go, because you're not going to get to eat like you normally eat. You're not going to, you know, I remember when I was in the one of the jungle villages that we stayed in Bolivia. I'm in my hammock in the night, and you know, it's the kind of hammock where you lay in it and it slaps shut to where mosquitoes or nothing can get to you. Well, about 50 yards from my hammock was this, they had one toilet in town, and it was really neat because they had tubing coming from the river. And it would build up ahead and drop, and eventually it would get to this thing, and it was a tank over top, and it was it belonged to that church that had been planted in that village, and but anyway, it's jet black. Let me tell you something: when you get out places where there's no light anywhere, it's black, and all night long you're hearing stuff going on saying, man, whatever you are, just leave me alone. Because the jungle comes alive at night. I mean, there's chases going on and monkeys screeching and it's nuts. So I'm laying in this hammock and I gotta go to the bathroom. And I didn't want to walk 50 yards to this thing when I can't see a daggone thing anywhere. I don't know. And so my point is, a lot of these trips aren't the great adventures that people think they are. They're very uncomfortable, and I think that people go on them for the right reason.
I don't think it's the story part. I don't, that doesn't bother me. And like I say, I'm glad the work gets done. It's when I look at the person, and again, they're free to do whatever they want to do, but that they make these trips almost annually, and yet they are horrible with people in their own life. They, you know, divorced 5 or 6 times, fight with their wife, won't give their own kids money, make them work through things to get it, nasty to people, say nasty things to people, and then they do that. Once a year, they go and they do that. Now, I don't know if that's some repentance in their own life that they're trying to make. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, everybody's not that way.
Well, I think, Scott, that, you know, you're going to have those people. But I'm saying, what I'm talking about, those are the people I was talking about that do things for the wrong reason. But what I was
right.
talking about when the show started, and I'm still talking about, are the people, there's so many that are doing it for the right reason, and they're not grandstanding in the process. And I just want people to know, I want the listeners out there to know that this isn't a terrible, mean world everywhere where everybody is out for themselves and nobody cares, because I want them to know that there are people that truly do care.
Oh, they do.
And they truly do help. And so many of them are in the church. And the church in the public and the media is not getting a fair shake today, because even when they know these stories, you don't hear about them. You would never know when there's a natural disaster here in this country. You would never know that the major people on the ground, the major people on the ground are the Salvation Army and the Red Cross and the Southern Baptist Convention, a partnership together. And the Southern Baptist Convention puts the utility vehicles and the boots on the ground. The Red Cross and the Salvation Army provide the funding, the food, and everything that goes there. But you never hear that on the news.
You know, people say they want to hear that. But just the other night, perfectly, 2 nights ago, 48 hours ago, over on Congress Street here in the west end of town, a house exploded. Exploded with one person getting burned very badly and being taken to, I think they're still with us, in the Columbus Hospital was the last report I heard. House exploded. Within 20 minutes of this happening, because of the way people listen to scanners, it was on web pages, it was shared to the Columbus media, people were over at this house who'd never been there taking pictures of it, there was a doorbell camera that was shared more times than you can imagine. Now find, because people share charity events online, find a charity event that had the share and the views and the push that that house exploding video did. It's not even comparable. And what did people want to talk about the next morning on the air? They didn't want to talk about the Cardinals in town. They didn't want to talk about the events going on in Marion. They wanted to know what happened. Why did that house explode?
Well, that's sensational stuff.
But if that's what people want, you can't force feed them.
No, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about rarely in public today is it popular to talk about the good the church does, and they don't talk about it. They'll talk about how Tom Cruise or someone of that nature, I think it was Brad Pitt, you know, went into New Orleans and built 14 houses. Oh, wonderful. But what about the people that did 100 times that were not Brad Pitt? You see what I mean? And people want to hear the Brad Pitt. Now, to show what I'm trying to explain this morning on the show is I want people to know that even though they're not being sensationalized, even though no one's talking about it, even though you're not going to hear about it, I want them to know that they're there. And the church still has a very pertinent role in the health and welfare of the community. And just because you're not hearing about it, I want you to know it's there. And it extends beyond that. You know, Kelly Primavera, who has Kelly's Diner in Richwood, she's going to, I don't know if she wants me to say this or not, but once again, I guess I'm blindsiding Kelly now, right? But anyway, there was a family that had a fire 2 weeks ago. And immediately, she had a donation jar and a basket in her diner for people to bring in things for that family. And she didn't know that family from Adam. She knows nothing about them. But you know what? That basket last time I was in there was full. And I don't know what was in the donation jar. But my point being that there's caring people out there, and unfortunately, because it's not good news, we don't hear about it. But I want people to know they truly are there. There are people that take people to stores. There's people that check on people that are shut-ins. There's people that provide fans when the weather's bad. And all these different things, that they are out there, and we need to know that. I think people need to know that.
Well, it's the interesting thing, because, you know, for years we had the Labor Day Telethon. Now, Jerry Lewis associated his name with that for over 50 years, and it was an absolute success. They raised millions of dollars, I think billions by the time he was done. And then they decided, well, let's not use him anymore.
Big mistake.
Well, now, see, but then that proved your point. When Jerry Lewis's name was associated with it, it was a big deal. 2 years after his name, when it became the same thing, same cause, same group, muscular dystrophy, gone. Gone, because people didn't want to tune in.
People wanted to see Jerry Lewis.
And people want to see Brad Pitt, and they want to see, and it's unfortunate it's that way, but that's where we live.
That's where we live. But I think that what I'm saying is, I'm not so much talking about, you know, that's an event. You know, putting a name on an event. I'm talking about the responsibility of honest news reporting. And what I'm talking about is, we hear of all kinds of places. If Nationwide Children's Hospital donates to something, it's all over the news. If a church does it, it's not.
Well, that's because Nationwide is donating money to that station for ads as well. And that's an OSU. Well, you can guarantee that's why you hear so much about Ohio State. Look at the commercials during the breaks.
Yes. So, but I'm saying, but wait a minute. I'm talking about going back to what the general public knows and honest reporting. And I realize that media is a business and they have obligations. Just like, for instance, our church has spots that are advertised on this station. Someone else isn't going to have a spot that's advertised on the station if they're not paying for the spot, right?
Right.
So it's all part of business. That's what you do.
Yeah, but you know, you do have a, like the house blowing up the other night, you know, you do hope that you cover that, because news is what is in the public interest. Well, what is the public interested in? I don't drive that. They drive that. And if the public's interested in something, we find out, like the Cardinals. The Cardinals has no shock value to it at all here in Marion. But so many people wanted to know about it, we found out about it. So when the public leads you to do that, you do it. And that's not money-driven. Nobody from the Cardinals has given anything.
But I think that, you know, if... I'm talking about advertising. I wasn't talking about news stories when I said that, you know, we're going to be advertising here and there. And I understand the advertising side of it. But if people are not going to want to know something that they don't know unless they're told that it's happening, you see what I mean? I think that it's a good thing for the people in Marion to know that there's so many people that are true people of faith that are out there helping and are willing to help, and that they have a place to go if they're in need. I think that's an important story, whether people call and ask for it or not.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you, it's a sad thing, and I was going to bring this up this morning on my show, but I didn't. But, you know, there is a big group of homeless people around Marion right now, and it's because the homeless shelter is full. And yesterday, they were out in the parking lot where Walmart is. And they're trying to build a home in this parking lot. And you can't do that because it's private property, but they were trying. And does the news do shows on homeless? Yes, about 4 or 5 times a year they will do a show on the homeless shelter. But could you get away with doing that every night?
No.
Probably not.
No, but I...
Even though the problem exists every night.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with the fact that I want you listeners in Marion to know that there are several churches out there and religious organizations that will help you if you truly need help in more ways than one. And don't forget that we're out there. And you know, we do deal with the issue of those that truly need help and those that are just trying to, you know, but if you're truly in need, we're there.
And again, you can catch the show Saturday or Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and Wednesday at 3, and that's it.
Later.
Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention. With conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio at the Quicken Loans Arena, and we are joined by a conservative icon, Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952, so you can count them up.
Do you think that it's good that Bob Dole is the only Republican